As much as issues can sway the voters, the fact remains that it's very difficult to win an election without lots and lots of money. And while the usual political action committees and individual donors with deep pockets will be in play, Tuesday's elections will be influenced to an extraordinary degree by what is known as dark money. Lawrence Norden is deputy director of the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University Law School. He and his colleagues have been closely studying election spending over the past several months, and he joins us now from New York. Lawrence Norden, good to have you on this program, sir.
Thanks for having me on, Tavis.
Let me jump right in with some terminology. Let's talk about what dark money is. What do we mean when we say dark money?
Basically, what we mean is money that is coming from organizations that don't disclose all of their donors. So right now, if you make a contribution to a particular candidate, a direct contribution, that will be disclosed. The fact that you, Tavis Smiley, made this contribution will be reported to the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission, and anybody can go and look and see who made that contribution. There are groups that exist now as a result of some court decisions that are spending heavily in the elections, and these groups don't necessarily report who is giving them money. So we don't know when they're spending on these elections, where the money is coming from.
So how much dark money is out there, or do we, to your point, not really know, Lawrence?
Well, we partly know because certain kinds of spending has to be reported even if the source of the money doesn't have to be reported. So as much as people are aware that there's been this increase in spending in elections over the past few years, the real change has been where the money has been coming from. And one of the biggest changes has been from these dark money groups. Just to throw some numbers at you, first of all, there's what is called outside spending. That's the spending that's not coming from either the parties or the candidates. And 2010 compared to 2014, that outside money has tripled in federal elections. A lot of that money is dark money. The Brennan Center looked at the nine most competitive Senate races where a lot of this dark money is going, and about half, almost half of all the money that's coming from the outside, from neither the candidates or the parties, is coming from dark money groups. So we just don't know the source of that money.
I think what I just heard you say with all that you just uttered is that there are outside groups and there's a lot of dark money deciding elections that should be local or municipal or statewide, and yet these races are being influenced by money coming from all over the place, and we don't even know where it's coming from. Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah, we don't know where it's coming from. So that means a couple of things. First of all, it means that voters don't know who's trying to influence their votes. We just have no idea who's behind a lot of the political ads that we're seeing on TV. It's also, I think, very disturbing because a lot of people already have the sense that politicians have the wrong priorities, that they don't put the voters first, that they're more concerned about their donors. And in fact, there are a lot of studies that show incumbent politicians are more in line, certainly at the federal level, with their donors than the voters. But at least there has been this check of being able to see who's giving money and then what the politician's priorities are. When we no longer even have that link, when we can't know where the money is coming from, it seems to me the chances for corruption, meaning just plain bribes, but also just general corruption of the system, are far greater.
I couldn't agree more. But it also raises the question, though, of how voters are influenced. But beyond that, how campaigns, how elections are influenced, because if we don't know where this dark money is coming from, you know, the numbers are pretty clear that in any particular Senate race in North Carolina or Arkansas, you pick the state, there's so much outside money, as in money coming from outside of the state, that decides who a senator may be from North Carolina. And so it's not just the voters in North Carolina that make those decisions.
That's absolutely true. One thing we should be clear about is that even 10 years ago, I being in New York could make a contribution to a candidate in North Carolina, but that contribution was limited.
Right.
There was a limit on how much I could spend. That's no longer the case. So from New York, I could spend $1 million or $10 million on that race. I could totally dwarf the kind of money that an everyday citizen in North Carolina might be able to contribute. And on top of that, as you point out, the everyday citizen in North Carolina might have no idea that I contributed that money.
How much of this has to do with these Supreme Court decisions of late that have seemed to open up the floodgates where campaign spending is concerned?
I think it has everything to do with them. And it's very interesting, I think, in some ways, this 2014 election is the first election that we are seeing the full weight of the Roberts Court and their vision of democracy On the one hand, you have all these voting cases where it's become because they've struck down a section of the Voting Rights Act, and they've allowed some of these harsh voter ID laws and other kinds of restrictive laws to go into effect. It's become much more difficult for poorer citizens to vote. At the same time, they have made it much easier for unlimited amounts of money to pour into our campaigns and for it to be unclear where that money came from. A lot of people know of this case, Citizens United, decided in 2010. In that case, the court said corporations could spend unlimited amounts of elections as long as they weren't giving that money directly to candidates. I think at the time that that decision came down, people thought, well, we're going to see Chevron and Aetna overwhelming our elections. And to some extent, we have seen that. But the bigger impact has been that you have new groups that are being set up that aren't people and can hide who the people are that are behind it. They can be set up just for an election, and they can dissolve afterwards, and we never know where the money came from.
As I've read your most recent, your being the Brennan Center's most recent report on 2014 election spending, you all suggest that there are at least nine Senate races this coming Tuesday, nine Senate races on the ballot that are essentially toss-ups because of the influence of outside spending or dark money. That's a high number, and that's certainly the number nine is enough to change the hands of the Senate from one party to another. So that's pretty serious.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think the thing is, this is a little bit of a chicken and an egg. All of that outside and dark money is coming in because these races are so close. So we certainly see some amount of dark money spending and some amount of outside spending generally at the federal elections. But it's really not all that surprising that the vast majority of that dark money and outside money is going right for these nine Senate races. And now there's a 10th in Kansas. That's where the control of the Senate is going to be in those 10 contests. And I think it's particularly troubling that we won't know who essentially bought those elections.
At the Brennan Center, what are we recommending long term beyond next Tuesday about how to fix this broken system?
Yeah, well, the good news is I think there's some pretty simple solutions if we get the will to do them. One is there's a bill that nearly passed in Congress in 2010 called the Disclose Act. It failed by one vote to break a filibuster in the Senate. It passed through the House. That would make all of this money public so we would know where it came from. There's an action at the IRS to start forcing some of these C4s, where 501C4s they're called, where a lot of this dark money is coming from, to comply with the law so that they're not spending so much money on politics. And finally, you know, there are efforts afoot for small donor public financing, if not yet at the federal level. There are some proposals. We have a system in New York City that does this, that matches small donations to increase the voice of small donors. There's an effort in New York State to make that happen statewide and in other states. And, you know, one thing to remember is back in 2008, everyone was talking about the small donor revolution, that the internet would allow small donors to have as much of an influence as the very big donors. And there still is the promise there that people of more modest means, if they band together, can have more influence over our elections.
Launce Norden, Deputy Director of the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University School of Law. Launce, thanks for your research and your work. Good to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me, Tavis.